it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I don't want you to think that I'm one of those people who like to meddle in other people's lives. I was never the type to bother the neighbors for being noisy. On the contrary, I used to be the noisy one. But the noises coming from Joseph's house, my neighbor's house, became impossible to ignore. And I guess time and the story I'm about to tell you proved me right. From the outside, his house looked just like all the others. Modest, well-kept, nothing out of the ordinary.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Joseph Fritzl was a man in his 60s, always neat and reserved. He never gave me any reason to be suspicious of him, although I must admit he always struck me as an odd fellow. However, things began to change. It was just small details. A cart full of bags of groceries for one person. The basement light on at odd hours. And those noises. Banging. Muffled screams. As if someone was locked in there. For weeks I tried to ignore it. I thought maybe I was just imagining things. Maybe Joseph was watching movies. Maybe he was exercising to music. There were too many possibilities. And assuming your neighbor is a psychopath isn't usually the first one you accept. But one night, those noises became unmistakable. Something or someone was suffering down there. I had to do something. I couldn't keep looking the other way. I thought about calling the police, but I didn't think they could do much. They would probably go to his house and tell him that a neighbor had reported him for noise. This would not only alert Joseph, but he would be suspicious of me since his basement is only close to my house. I had to do something else. I had to investigate on my own. The next day started like any other. Joseph left early as usual, got in his car and drove off. I stood watching from my window. I wanted to make sure he was leaving before I made my move. I waited a few minutes after the car disappeared. Then left my house, crossing to his. When I got there, I realized I couldn't just walk in. I knew that would raise suspicion if anyone saw me, but there was another entrance. A small back door that Joseph rarely used. It always seemed strange to me, almost hidden, as if he didn't want anyone to know he was there. To my surprise, the door was open. The inside of the house was as ordinary as I remembered. The kitchen was clean, with nothing out of place. I moved carefully, and then I heard a sound. It was a moan, soft but clear, and it was coming from the basement. As I opened the door, a musty enclosed smell hit me. I carefully made my way downstairs, making sure to not make any noise. When I reached the bottom of the stairs, I turned on the light and saw it. A small room with cold concrete walls. And in the center of the room, a cage. Inside that cage, I saw a woman, emaciated, with pale skin. She was surrounded by six children, all looking equally malnourished and terrified. My mind was slow to process what I was seeing. The woman looked up and saw me, as confused as she was frightened. I wanted to approach, but I was frozen in place, unable to move from shock. I did not expect to find something like this. I really thought that somehow it was all my paranoia, but no. It was real. This was happening. My neighbor was holding a woman and six kids hostage. I had to get out of there before he came back. As I got closer to the cage, the woman grabbed my arm with little force, but still surprising for someone in her condition.
Please get us out of here.
I began to search for something, anything I could use to open the cage. My hands were shaking. I searched the room, but there were no tools, nothing that could help me. Suddenly, I heard a noise upstairs. The front door opened. Joseph was back. Had he forgotten something? He wasn't supposed to be back for hours. I didn't have much time. The only option was to hide, so I slipped behind some boxes. I heard Joseph's footsteps approaching, slow and intense, to the point where I felt it was intentional, like he was trying to scare his victims. Joseph came down the ladder and looked around the basement in confusion. It was at that moment I realized I made a terrible mistake. The light was not on when I entered. Joseph began to inspect the basement, checking to see if anyone had entered. These boxes were pretty exposed. It was only a matter of time before he found me. Just when I thought all was lost, the woman screamed. It was a desperate scream, echoing through the small basement. Joseph stopped, furious, but distracted by the scream. I watched in horror as he approached the cage, and without a word, began to brutally beat the woman. The children were crying but not moving, as if they had learned that any movement would only make things worse. I took advantage of the moment and ran for the stairs. Joseph turned quickly. He never stopped paying attention. He knew someone might be nearby.
What are you doing here?
I didn't answer. I just started running. As soon as I reached the kitchen door, I felt his hand on my shirt, pulling me back. He threw me against the wall with enormous force for someone his age. My head banged against the wall.
I knew you were a rat. You think I didn't notice how you looked at me?
He grabbed me by the hair and started dragging me away. I tried to grab something from the kitchen as I kicked dizzily to get free, but I couldn't grab a knife or anything sharp, just a small bottle. Joseph dragged me out of the kitchen and threw me downstairs into the basement. I rolled down, slamming my body against the concrete steps. Joseph came down the stairs with an enormous calm. As he came down, I looked at the bottle I had grabbed. It was a bottle of lemon. Joseph came closer, his hands ready to hurt me more. At the last moment, I pulled out the bottle, and with the last bit of strength I had left, I threw the liquid in his face. The citric acid burned his eyes and he screamed in pain, recoiling as he covered his face. I stood up and rammed him with all my strength, and he crashed into the woman's cage. As soon as she had him in her grasp, she bit him violently in the neck. Joseph screamed in pain, and I took advantage of the confusion to crawl down the stairs and out of the house. I was free. With what little strength I had left, I ran towards my house. As soon as I got there, I locked the door. My hands were shaking so badly that I could barely turn the lock. As soon as I locked the door, I immediately called the police. Within minutes, the street was filled with patrol cars. From the window, I watched as the officers entered with guns in hand. There was a long silence before the shouting began. I could see the shock on the faces of the police officers as they found the basement, the cage, and everything that monster had been hiding for so many years. It didn't take them long to bring Joseph out. Handcuffed and covered in blood, the story of Joseph Fritzl and his cellar of horrors became one of the most infamous crimes in modern history. When it was my turn to be a witness, I learned a lot about Joseph that I didn't know at the time. Like that the kidnapped woman wasn't just any woman. She was his daughter. All the children that were with her were her children, and also Joseph's children. I don't need to explain to you how that's possible. You can imagine it. There are times I feel guilty for not having acted sooner. But I quickly erase that thought. I know I did what I had to do. I hope I'm wrong. But I find it hard to believe that this woman and her children can live a normal life after what they went through with Joseph. But they can start trying. They're free now. This story is inspired by the crimes of Joseph Fritzl, an Austrian man who held his own daughter, Elizabeth, captive in a cellar for 24 years. From 1984 to 2008, Fritzl abused his daughter, with whom he had seven children, all of whom were also imprisoned in the cellar. Joseph Fritzl is currently serving a life sentence in Austria after being convicted in 2009 of murder, kidnapping, and enslavement.
This story is not a happy one. But you know, unlike many people who find themselves in traumatic and horrendous situations, I was used to it. My life was always terrible. I was never happy. And maybe that was the only reason why I survived what I'm about to tell you. Since I was little, my parents did nothing but show me that they hated me. There wasn't a day that went by that I didn't get a spanking for any reason, whether it was for not doing things correctly or just because they were in a bad mood. My parents took it upon themselves to make it clear to me that I was worthless and that I had no future. And I, over time, began to believe it. The situation only got worse as I got older. I stopped trying to please them and started looking for any excuse to get out of the house, even if it was just for a few hours. I wandered the streets a lot, feeling safe when I wasn't at home, even though I knew the streets were dangerous. I didn't care. Nothing could be worse than what I experienced at home. My parents knew this, and they could not allow it. One night, after a brutal fight, my father threw me into the basement. While I was crying, my father appeared and they began to talk.
You are our daughter. People know that. How do you think they see us when they see you on the street all day like a prostitute?
You do it on purpose, don't you? Do you want to humiliate us? Is this how you repay us for raising you?
Stay calm. She won't cause any more problems. I found a solution to the problem.
I stood there in the dark, listening as they talked. The conversation didn't last long. I didn't know what they were up to, but what could they do to me that they hadn't already done to me? The next morning, a man came to the house. He was relatively young, but not that young. He had a kindly appearance. My father introduced me to him as if I were a commodity.
This is Samuel McDowell, and from now on, you will listen to him.
That's when I understood everything. My father had sold me. The trip to Alaska was long and silent. Samuel barely spoke, and I didn't have the strength to start a conversation. The only thing that comforted me was that the man told me that he knew how much I was being mistreated, and that from now on, my life would be better. I remember thinking that maybe, just maybe, what was coming wasn't going to be so bad. When we arrived at his cabin, I felt a mixture of relief and concern. The place was in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by trees and snow, just as I had imagined. It looked cozy from the outside, a good place to start from scratch. The man began to show me around the house, and when he showed me the door leading to the basement, I sensed something in his demeanor had changed. Something was wrong. As soon as I set foot on the first step, I felt his hand on my back. Before I could react, he pushed me hard and I rolled down the stairs, hitting the concrete walls and floor. From upstairs, I heard Samuel close the door and turn the key.
Welcome home.
I lay sore on the floor. As I crawled, I noticed something in the air, a metallic smell that turned my stomach. Then, I saw it. Dead bodies. They were mutilated. Young women like me. At my discovery, I began to cry on the ground, and hours passed without anything happening. When I woke up, I saw his slippers next to me and tried to get up, but he was already on top of me. In his hand, he was wearing a belt, but it was not like the ones my father used to wear. This one was modified, with buckles and sharp metal points.
Your father told me to be careful with you, that you're misbehaving. Is that true?
Without warning, the man began to hit me violently with the belt. I felt my skin tearing under the metal, how the blood ran down my back and my sides.
They always try to resist at first. They think they're special, different. But in the end, they all end up the same.
dead and forgotten.
I didn't know how much longer I could stand it. Samuel leaned close to my ear and whispered,
"No one will miss you when you disappear. Your parents sold you. You understand? Like a toy."
Those words sparked something in me. I wanted to survive. I was not going to die without doing everything I could. At that moment,
step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I felt a hatred so intense that it overshadowed the fear. It was not only hatred for Samuel, but also my parents, for all those who had treated me like garbage all my life. I could barely move, but with each blow, I noticed how Samuel became more reckless and more chaotic in his attacks. In an unguarded moment, as he raised his belt for another blow, I provoked him. "That's it? That's the best you can do? My father hit harder than you did, and he was a coward." Samuel stopped in surprise. His face twisted into an expression of pure rage.
"You're going to judge me? You're going to compare me to that starving man who had to sell you to eat? Who do you think you are?"
He threw the belt aside and began to hit me with his hands, his fist clenched, each blow more furious and uncontrolled than the last. It was now or never. With the last-ditch effort, as Samuel leaned in to hit me again, I lunged at him and dug my nails into his face. Samuel screamed. It was obvious that he hadn't tied me up to show a sense of power, but this time it had backfired. Trying to get away from me and in his confusion, I pushed him with all my strength. He stumbled and fell to the ground. I took advantage of that brief moment to get up. My legs were shaking, but the urge to survive was stronger. I ran to the stairs and escaped through the door. I closed it and locked it with an old chair I found in the hallway. I ran into the woods without looking back. I could hear Samuel screaming behind me. He was furious. With every step, the snow got deeper and deeper, and it was harder and harder to move, but I had to do it. In the distance, I saw a small abandoned cabin. I headed there hoping to find something, anything, that I could use to defend myself. I rushed into the house. I didn't know if Samuel had seen me enter. Then, I saw him through a crack in the wall. I could tell he was desperate. His prey had escaped, and that made him even more dangerous. I had to stay calm. That was my only hope. Samuel was entering the cabin. He knew I was there, but he didn't know where I was. As he cautiously moved forward, I pulled out an old piece of iron pipe I had found on the ground. Samuel leaned over slightly to check behind the stove, unaware that I was already waiting. The moment I saw his face appear, I lifted the pipe and hit him over the head with all my might. I didn't wait to see if he would recover. I took advantage and gave him another punch, this time in the face. His body collapsed on the ground, and I took the opportunity to run away. I let go of the pipe and ran out of the cabin, running through the forest as fast as I could. I didn't know how far I had run or for how long, but finally I saw lights in the distance. I had reached a small town. Surprised by what I told them, the policemen went to investigate what was going on, but without much interest and without believing me, they took their time to go, and when they arrived, there was no one there. I spent the next few weeks wandering the streets with no home, no family, and no one to trust. I lived in constant fear that Samuel would find me and kidnap me. Little by little, however, I began to rebuild my life. I got a job, started studying, and made a family. Eventually, I saw Samuel's face again, but arrested. Do you know when this was? More than 20 years after what I had done to myself, He called himself Samuel Little, and sure enough, he killed many other women. I only got some peace of mind a few years ago, as he died in late 2020 in California. I know it sounds strange, but for the first time, I feel free. Not just in a revenge sense, but because I can go out on the street without fear of running into him and having history repeat itself. This story is inspired by the crimes of Samuel Little, considered one of America's most prolific serial killers. Between 1970 and 2005, Little murdered more than 90 women, often targeting vulnerable women, such as sex workers and homeless people. Because of his low profile and mobility around the country, his crimes went unnoticed for decades, allowing him to continue his murderous streak for years without being caught. Samuel Little died in prison in 2020 at the age of 80, serving multiple life sentences after being convicted in 2014.
Hey, my name is Alan. I'm just an ordinary ice cream man with an ordinary life. I know there are more interesting professions like policemen or firemen, but even with a life as ordinary and boring as mine, I have a story to tell you. A story that you might think could happen to one in a million people. Until you turn on the TV and you see that reality is different, but I'll tell you about that later. First of all, I have to tell you about my personal experience. It all happened when I was young. I was only 13 years old. I was too old to be so curious. I still had the excessive idolism of a little boy, but I was too old to get into trouble. That day, my parents went to the supermarket. I didn't feel like going, and I was old enough to take care of myself. So they had no problem leaving me alone, even if I was a bit of a troublemaker. I wasn't planning on leaving my room, honestly. I was playing video games in my room and having fun until I heard it. Like every day, the neighbor's dog started barking. To be honest, I never saw the neighbor's dog, but listening to it was horrible. Every day I heard their barks of pain, of fear. They were not coming from the yard or from inside the neighbor's house, but from his basement. Sometimes I would hide in the neighbor's yard and spy on them through the window. They looked like two normal people, but I didn't like the way they treated their dogs. From the window, I could see how the door to their basement was always closed, and from there, the dog would cry, bark, and scratch at the door. The elderly couple who lived there always treated me well, but I hated the way they treated their poor dog. My dog had died a few weeks before, and I was going through a phase where I wanted to rescue and bring in as many dogs as possible, but my parents wouldn't let me. Not only were my parents gone that day, but the neighbors weren't there either. This was a double opportunity. Not only would I get to play with the dog, but I would let them out of the basement for even a little while. I slipped into my neighbor's house through the window from their yard and walked slowly into the basement. I didn't want to scare the dog, so I knew I had to proceed carefully. I approached the door and tried to open it as slowly and quietly as possible, but it was locked. Hell, I knew this couldn't be easy. I started looking for the key everywhere, and at the same time, I took the opportunity to see the house for the first time. It was a normal house. Nothing in it was striking. The two old men who took care of it seemed to have a happy life, going on all kinds of vacations together. All the pictures were from when they were young. To my surprise, in all of them, there was a child. Something must have happened to him. All this was quite surprising to me, as they seemed like good people in general. I was surprised that people like this could treat an animal so badly. While I was looking at the pictures, I noticed that behind one of them, there was a small key hidden. This was the key to the basement. With a big smile, I almost ran to the place, and as I put the key in, it fit perfectly. With anticipation, I opened the door and took the first steps into the basement. Finally, I was inside. The basement looked very dark, and the stairs down were very dangerous. I didn't hear the dog, but I did hear a four-legged animal walking curiously, not knowing who was entering the basement. I took my first steps on the stairs. I couldn't see the bottom of the basement. It was too dark, and the light switch was at the bottom of the stairs. I continued advancing carefully so as not to break those old wooden stairs. I was considering that maybe this was not the best idea, but I was already too involved to stop moving forward. I had to at least see the dog. It was a bad idea to be afraid of him at that height. As my father used to tell me, the one who is more afraid than me is the dog. Once I got down, I happily turned on the lights without knowing what I was about to find. That one there? That wasn't a dog. It was a human. That poor man was chained up. He had a collar and was standing on all fours, looking at me curiously. "Hey, are you all right? Did the old people do this to you?" Suddenly, the man jumped on top of me to attack me. This person was totally crazy. I really thought he was a dog. All this time, those screams and cries were not those of a dog, but those of a human. I fought for my life and protected myself as much as I could from this terrifying person. Until luckily, there was a noise at the door, and the chained person was distracted for a few seconds, giving me the opportunity to escape and hide under the stairs. While I was waiting in hiding, the old man, the owner of the house, arrived furious with some chains and began to attack his prisoner violently.
"I told you not to bark. Do you want to put on a show? Haven't I taught you enough?"
In response, the prisoner began to cry, like a dog trying to attack a person, but he couldn't because the chain wouldn't stretch far enough to reach him. Suddenly, the man stopped attacking the dog and became thoughtful.
"Hey, wait a minute. Why are the lights on? I could have sworn I turned them off before I left."
Taking advantage of this opportunity, I rammed the man with all the force I had. The damage was minimal, but with those three steps, I pushed him back, and I had achieved my goal.
You came in here. Now you can't."
That was the family that owned the house before they were killed by those two psychopaths. The only thing they kept was the kid in the picture, and they spent years and years training him to behave like, you can imagine, a dog. The boy, who was already over 20 years old, received all the psychological help he could, but the psychological damage was so great, but he took his own life before he could improve. As I said at the beginning, be very careful. Something as hard to believe as this can happen every day. When you are leaving your house, stare into their eyes and ask yourself, how well do I know this person?
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You never know if that elderly couple you have around you might be the most wicked and cruel people you will ever meet in your life.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.